too. You can tell they're after you, Herb Asher said to himself when they bore through the ceiling. The food man, the most important of the several supply men, had unscrewed the roof lock of the dome and was descending the ladder. Food ration Comtrix, the audio transducer of his radio announced. Start rebolting procedure. Rebolting underway, Asher said. The speaker said, put helmet on. Not necessary, Asher said. He made no move to pick up his helmet. His atmosphere flow rate would compensate for the loss during the food man's entry. He had redesigned it. An alarm bell in the dome's autonomic wiring sounded. Put your helmet on, the food man said angrily. The alarm bell ceased complaining. The pressure had restabilized. At that, the food man grimaced. He popped his helmet and then began to unload cartons from his Comtrix. We are a hardy race, Asher said, helping him. You have amped up everything, the food man said. Like all the rovers who serviced the domes, he was sturdily built and he moved rapidly. It was not a safe job operating a Comtrix shuttle between motherships and the domes of CY-302. He knew it and Asher knew it. Anybody could sit in a dome. Few people could function outside. Can I sit down for a while? The food man said when his work had ended. All I have is a cuppy of calf, Asher said. That'll do. I haven't drunk real coffee since I got here, and that was long before you got here. The food man seated himself at the dining module service area. The two men sat facing each other across the table, both of them drinking calf. Outside the dome, the methane messed around, but here neither man felt it. The food man perspired. He apparently found Asher's temperature level too high. You know, Asher, the food man said, you just lie around on your bunk with all your rigs on auto, right? I keep busy. Sometimes I think you domers. The food man paused. Asher, you know the woman in the next dome? Somewhat, Asher said. My gear transfers data to her input circuitry every 3 or 4 weeks. She stores it, boosts it, and transmits it, I suppose. Or, for all I know, she's sick, the food man said. Startled, Asher said, she looked all right the last time I talked to her. We used video. She did say something about having trouble reading her terminals displays. She's dying, the food man said, and sipped his calf. The word scared Asher. He felt a chill. In his mind, he tried to picture the woman, but strange scenes assailed him, mixed with soupy music. Strange concoction, he thought. Video and odd fragments, like old cloth remnants of the dead. Small and dark, the woman was. And what was her name? I can't think, he said, and put the palms of his hands against the sides of his face, as if to reassure himself. Then, rising and going to his main board, he punched a couple of keys. It showed her name on its display, retrieved by the code they used. Ribis Rami. Dying of what, he said. What the hell do you mean? Multiple sclerosis. You can't die of that, not these days. Out here you can. How? Shit. He reseated himself. His hands shook. I'll be goddamned, he thought. How far advanced is it? Not far at all, the food man said. What's the matter? He eyed Asher acutely. I don't know. Nerves from the calf. A couple of months ago, she told me that when she was in her late teens, she suffered an, what is it called, aneurysm in her left eye, which wiped out her central vision in that eye. They suspected at the time that it might be the onset of multiple sclerosis. And then today, when I talked to her, she said she's been experiencing optic neuritis, which, Asher said, both symptoms were said to MED. A correlation of an aneurysm and then a period of remission and then double vision, blurring. You're all rattled up. I had the strangest, most weird sensation for just a second there, Asher said. It's gone now, as if this had all happened once before. The food man said, "You ought to call her up and talk to her. It'd be good for you as well. Get you out of your bunk." "Don't mastermind my life," Asher said. "That's why I moved out here from the Sol system. Did I ever tell you what my second wife used to get me to do every morning? I had to fix her breakfast, in bed. I had to... When I was delivering to her, she was crying." Turning to his keyboard, Asher punched out and then read the display. "There's a 30-40% cure rate for multiple sclerosis." Patiently, the food man said, "Not out here. MED can't get to her out here. I told her to demand a transfer back home. That's what I'd sure as hell do. She won't do it." "She's crazy," Asher said. "You're right. She's rattled up crazy. Everybody out here is crazy. I just got told that once today already." "You want proof of it? She's proof of it. Wouldn't you go back home if you knew you were very sick?" "We're never supposed to surrender our domes. Anyhow, it's against the law to emigrate back." "No, it's not," he corrected himself. "Not if you're sick. But our job here..." "Oh, yeah, that's right. What you monitor here is so important. Like Linda Fox. Who told you that once today?" "A Clem," Asher said. "A Clem walked in here and told me I'm crazy. And now you climb down my ladder and tell me the same thing. I'm being diagnosed by Clems and food men." "Do you hear that sappy string music, or don't you? It's all over my dome. I can't locate the source, and I'm sick of it." "Okay, I'm sick and I'm crazy. How could I benefit Ms. Rami? You said it yourself. I'm in here totally rattled up. I'm no good to anyone." The food man set down his cup. "I have to go." "Fine," Asher said. "I'm sorry. You upset me by telling me about Ms. Rami." "Call her and talk to her. She needs someone to talk to, and you're the closest dome. I'm surprised she didn't tell you." Herb Asher thought, "I didn't ask." "It is the law, you know," the food man said.
"What law?"
"If a domer is in distress, the nearest neighbor..." "Oh," he nodded. "Well, it's never come up before in my case. I mean, yeah, it is the law. I forgot. Did she tell you to remind me of the law?"
"No," the food man said.
After the food man had departed, Herb Asher got the code for Rivas Rami's dome, started to run it into his transmitter, and then hesitated. His wall clock showed 18:30 hours. At this point in his 42-hour cycle, he was supposed to accept a sequence of high-speed entertainment, audio and videotaped signals, emanating from a slave satellite at CY-303. Upon storing them, he was to run them back at normal and select the material suitable for the overall dome system on his own planet. He took a look at the log. Fox was doing a concert that ran 2 hours. "Linda Fox," he thought. "You and your synthesis of old-time rock, modern-day string, and the lute music of John Dowland." "Jesus," he thought. "If I don't transcribe the relay of your live concert, every domer on the planet will come storming in here and kill me. Outside of emergencies, which really didn't occur, this is what I'm paid to handle. Information traffic between planets. Information that connects us with home and keeps us human. The tape drums have to turn." He started the tape transport at its high-speed mode, set the module's controls for receive, locked it in at the satellite's operating frequency, checked the waveform on the visual scope to be sure that the carrier was coming in undistorted, and then patched into an audio transduction of what he was getting. The voice of Linda Fox emerged from the strip of drivers mounted above him. As the scope showed, there was no distortion, no noise, no clipping. All channels, in fact, were balanced. His meters indicated that. "Sometimes I could cry myself when I hear her," he thought. Speaking of crying. "Wandering all across this land, my band, in the worlds that pass above, I love. Play for me, you spirits who are weightless. I believe in drinking to your greatness, my band." And behind Linda Fox's vocal, the vibro-lutes which were her trademark. Until Fox, no one had ever thought of bringing back that 16th-century instrument for which Dowland had written so beautifully and so effectively. Shall I sue? Shall I seek for grace? Shall I pray? Shall I prove? Shall I strive to a heavenly joy with an earthly love? Are there worlds, are there moons, where the loft shall endure? Shall I find for a heart that is pure? These remasterings of the old lute songs, he said to himself, they bind us. Some new thing for scattered people as flung as if they had been dropped in haste. Here and there, disarranged, in domes, on the backs of miserable worlds, and in satellites and arcs, victimized by the power of oppressive migration, and with no end in sight. Now the fox was singing one of his favorites. Silly wretch, let me rail at a voyage that is blind. Holy hopes do require... A flurry of static. Herb Asher grimaced and cursed. The next line had been effaced. Damn, he thought. Again the fox repeated the lines. Silly wretch, let me rail at a voyage that is blind. Holy hopes do require... Again the static. He knew the missing line. It went, greater find. Angrily, he signaled the source to replay the last 10 seconds of its transmission. Obligingly, it rewound, paused, gave him the signal back, and repeated the quatrain. This time he could make out the final line, despite the eerie static. Silly wretch, let me rail at a voyage that is blind. Holy hopes do require your behind. Christ, Asher said, and shut his tape transport down. Could he have heard that? Your behind? It was Yah, screwing up his reception. This was not the first time. The local throng of Clems had explained it to him when the interference had first set in several months ago. In the old days, before humans had migrated to the CY30B star system, the autochthonic population had worshipped a mountain deity named Yah, whose abode, the autochthons had explained, was the little mountain on which Herb Asher's dome had been erected. His incoming microwave and psychotronic signals had gotten cooked by Yah every now and then, much to his displeasure. And when no signals were coming in, Yah lit up his screens with faint but obviously sentient driblets of information. Herb Asher had spent a long time fussing with his equipment, trying to screen out this interference, but with no success. He had studied his manuals and erected shields, but to no avail. This, however, was the first time that Yah had wrecked a Linda Fox tune, which, as far as Asher was concerned, put the matter over a crucial line. The fact of the matter was, whether it was healthy or not, he was totally dependent on the fox. He had long maintained an active fantasy life dealing with the fox. He and Linda Fox lived on Earth, in California, at one of the beach towns in the Southland, unspecified beyond that. Herb Asher surfed, and the fox thought he was wonderful. It was like a living commercial for beer. They had campouts on the beach with their friends. The girls walked around nude from the waist up. The portable radio was always tuned to a 24-hour no-commercials-at-all rock station. However, the truly spiritual was what mattered most. The topless girls at the beach were simply, well, not vital, but pleasant. The total package was highly spiritual. It was amazing how spiritual an elaborated beer commercial could get. And, at the peak of it all, the Dowland songs. The beauty of the universe lay not in the stars figured into it, but in the music generated by human minds, human voices, human hands. Vibro-lutes mixed on an intricate board by experts, and the voice of Fox. He thought, I know what I must have to keep on going. My job is my delight. I transcribe this, and I broadcast it, and they pay me. This is the Fox, Linda Fox said. Herb Asher switched the video to hollow, and a cube formed in which Linda Fox smiled at him. Meanwhile, the drums spun at furious speed, getting hour upon hour into his permanent possession. You are with the fox, she declared,
and the fox is with you.
She pinned him with her gaze, the hard, bright eyes, the diamond face, feral and wise, feral and true. This is the fox speaking to you. He smiled back.
Hi, fox, he said.
You're behind, the fox said. Well, that explained the soupy string music, the endless fiddler on the roof. Yaw was responsible. Herb Asher's dome had been infiltrated by the ancient local deity, who obviously begrudged the human settlers the electronic activity that they had brought. I got bugs all in my meal, Herb Asher thought, and I got deities all in my reception. I ought to move off this mountain. What a rinky-dink mountain it is, anyhow. No more really than a slight hill. Let Yah have it back. The autochthons can start serving up roasted goat meat to the deity once more. Except that all the autochthonic goats had died out, and along with them the ritual. Anyhow, his incoming transmission was ruined. He did not have to replay it to know. Yah had cooked the signal before it reached the recording heads. This was not the first time, and the contamination always got onto the tape. Thus, I might as well say fuck it, he said to himself, and ring up the sick girl in the next dome. He dialed her code, feeling no enthusiasm. It took Ribbeth Rami an amazingly long time to respond to his signal, and as he sat noting the signal register on his own board, he thought, is she finished? Or did they come and forcibly evacuate her? His microscreen showed vague colors. Visual static, nothing more. And then there she was. Did I wake you up? He said. She seemed so slowed down, so torpid. Perhaps, he thought, she's sedated. No, I was shooting myself in the ass. What? He said, startled. Was Yah screwing him over once again, cooking his signal? But she had said it all right. Ribbeth said, chemotherapy. I'm not doing too well. But what an uncanny coincidence, he thought. You're behind and shooting myself in the ass. I'm in an eerie world, he thought. Things are behaving funny. I just now taped a terrific Linda Fox concert, he said. I'll be broadcasting it in the next few days. It'll cheer you up. Her slightly swollen face showed no response. It's too bad we're stuck in these domes. I wish we could visit one another. The food man was just here. In fact, he brought me my medication. It's effective, but it makes me throw up. Herb Asher thought, I wish I hadn't called. Is there any way you could visit me? Ribbeth said. I have no portable air. None at all. It was, of course, a lie. I have, Ribbeth said. In panic, he said, but if you're sick, I can make it over to your dome. What about your station? What if data come in that I've got a beeper I can bring with me? Presently, he said, okay. It would mean a lot to me, someone to sit with for a little while. The food man stays like half an hour, but that's as long as he can. You know what he told me? There's been an outbreak of a form of amyotrophic lateral sclerosis on CY306. It must be a virus. This whole condition is a virus. Christ, I'd hate to have amyotrophic lateral sclerosis. This is like the Mariana form. Is it contagious? Herb Asher said. She did not answer directly. She said, what I have can be cured. Obviously, she wanted to reassure him. If the virus is around, I won't come over. It's okay. She nodded and reached to shut off her transmitter. I'm going to lie down, she said, and get more sleep. With this, you're supposed to sleep as much as you can. I'll talk to you tomorrow. Goodbye. Come over, he said. Brightening, she said, thank you. But be sure you bring your beeper. I have a hunch a lot of telemetric confirms are going to... Oh, fuck the telemetric confirms, Ribbeth said with venom. I'm so sick of being stuck in this goddamn dome. Aren't you going bugward, sitting around watching tape drums turn and little meters and gauges and shit? I think you should go back home, he said, to the Sol system. No, she said more calmly. I'm going to follow exactly the MED instructions for my chemotherapy and beat this fucking MS. I'm not going home. I'll come over and fix you dinner. I'm a good cook. My mother was Italian and my father is Chicano, so I spice everything I fix. Except you can't get the spices out here. But I figured out how to beat that with different synthetics. I've been experimenting. Herb Asher said, In this concert I'm going to be broadcasting, the Fox does a version of Dowland's Shall I Sue? A song about litigation? No, sue in the sense of to pay court to or woo, in matters of love. And then he realized that she was putting him on. Do you want to know what I think of the Fox? Rivers said. Recycled sentimentality, which is the worst kind of sentimentality. It isn't even original. And she looks like her face is on upside down. She has a mean mouth. I like her, he said stiffly. He felt himself becoming mad, really mad. I'm supposed to help you, he asked himself. Run the risk of catching what you have so you can insult the Fox? I'll fix you beef stroganoff with parsley noodles, Rivers said. I'm doing fine, he said. Hesitating, she said in a low, faltering voice, Then you don't want me to come over? He said. Ribbeth said, I'm very frightened, Mr. Asher. 15 minutes from now I'm going to be throwing up from the IV neurotoxite. But I don't want to be alone. I don't want to give up my dome, and I don't want to be by myself. I'm sorry if I offended you. It's just that to me the Fox is a joke. She is a joke media personality. She is pure hype. I won't say anything more, I promise. Do you have the... He amended what he intended to say. Are you sure it won't be too much for you, fixing dinner? I'm stronger now than I will be, she said. I'll be getting weaker for a long time. How long? There's no way to tell. He thought, you are going to die. He knew it and she knew it. They did not have to talk about it. The complicity of silence was there, the agreement. A dying girl wants to cook me a dinner, he thought. A dinner I don't want to eat. I've got to say no to her. I've got to keep her out of my dome. The insistence of the weak, he thought, their dreadful power. It is so much easier to throw a body block against the strong. Thank you, he said. I'd like it very much if we had dinner together. But make sure you keep in radio contact with me on your way over here, so I'll know you're okay. Promise? Well, sure, she said. Otherwise... She smiled. They'd find me a century from now, frozen with pots, pans, and food, as well as synthetic spices. You do have portable air, don't you? No, I really don't, he said. And knew that his lie was palpable to her.